Hello, I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Spirit Work is a paranormal, metaphysical, and spiritual show that has virtually no boundaries in its content. The information we are able to bring is without religious bias or persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. We offer you the Spirit World's perspective on the nature of our existence, and hope that you may find inspiration, upliftment, motivation, and empowerment through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us from the spirit world.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery, and on this week's show, the spirit world is going to be discussing defining species, which is also a subject that features highly in one of our books, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic, and Imagery. We'll be finding out how species of physical Earth are made up, how different species relate in physical time, and also how they relate in the spirit world. We actually have four books that are full of groundbreaking information, and they are out on general release. They can be found on our website at www.spirit-teaching.com, on amazon.com, or ordered at bookstores throughout the country. They are educational, life-affirming, and life-altering for people to significantly form a more advanced and self-aware approach to the world we live in, and are transcripts of our work with the spirit guide, Gregory Hay, who will be appearing on this program. Our book titles are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic, and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And this last one, Journeys, is only available from our website, don't forget, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. As well as Spirit's Work on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bloginservice.com, we have another show, and that's called The Spirit Teaching Show, and it's every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. Now, as I said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about the event, what has happened during this time that I've been away. I go into the deep trance state and lend my body and vocal cords to the spirit world. My spirit and consciousness is transported to the spirit world by the scientific group of guides in charge of this particular aspect of the procedure and taken to somewhere known only to them until they send me back into my body when Gregory leaves.
Okay, and those of you who are regular listeners to the show will know that we don't waste any more time with just chatting. So if I could ask you to get ready and go off now, Mick. And Gregory Hay is the communicator that's going to be speaking to us, and he is the spokesperson for a group of highly enlightened spirits called the White Cloud Group. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists, philosophers, scholars of all descriptions, as well as ordinary people who have an input to bring to us. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence, and I mean our internal existence, and hopefully point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human minds. Our mission statement is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and restore the well-being and balance of the planet. So I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're about to listen to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. And I'm Sylvia Avery. Welcome.
Hello, Vin.
And here's Gregory. Hi,
hello,
Gregory.
Vin. Hello, dear Vin.
Hello.
Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. I am so pleasured and honored, as always, to be in your kind vibration, little bird, and to be on this scenario, this little program event that we are understanding that you are recording at this time.
Oh, that's lovely. For this show, I think we'd probably let you start off at the beginning where it is you want to start from, because I might jump in halfway through and ask a question about species. And
yes, very well.
So take it away.
Thank you. defining species and what you are in relation to your world in physical life and as spirit. First of all, we have to look at then the issues that surround defining what species are, how you yourselves have come about in physical life. Is it not true? Many would say that the matters, the opinions of science are in fact relative to the surrounding that you see. You observe many different creatures ranging in different sizes from the smallest microbe to the very largest elephant or whale. You look at these different creatures and you see them organized in their own lives, perhaps displaying their habits, their instinct, how they react to their environment, what they cause to their environment, and in fact, how they communicate with one another, not just within their own species, I have to say, but unlike human beings, they actually communicate with one another in a very defined and knit way. They understand one another's presence. Perhaps you do not understand this, as you see a worm crawling upon the grass and watching it being devoured by a mole. Is it true to say that worm actually understands the mole's presence? Actually, what the mole may experience is something quite different to what you would imagine, because what you see is that the mole itself is looking for food. It is using its senses. It is using its experience of those senses through its nose, through its ears. It is able to pick up the faintest of sounds, smallest of vibration upon the surface, just the same as it does when it's within the earth. It in fact looks upon the worm merely as a way to carry on. It does not observe the worm as being something that it must kill, but just that it is a means to continue, to be able to establish the genetics that it has within it, within the group, or within the lifetime of actually bringing forward its own genetics so that it will continue to live on in that way. Is it to say then that the mole itself has a spirit? There are many on your side of life who define species all as being lower life forms, because that is the way that many people on your side of life see all other life as being, as existing in your presence. You are the dominant strain, the dominant mutant factor at this present time, because you have evolved over the period of time you have, which incidentally is quite some considerable time, stretching over millions of years, in fact. I understand that many will refute this because there is a lack of evidence to point that direction. However, all it merely means is that with human beings, they have long since had and identified with the way in which their remains will be cast out. Some will have different reasons for doing this, and we will not go into this at this present time. All it is to say is that evidence does exist. It is only really a matter of unearthing it. Population centers were quite small at some times in the state of evolution, and at other times they were quite large. It is really to say that evidence is there in varying forms. So to get back then to our defining species and what we see from the spirit world in relation to what you observe. If we take the actual particular of an ant, for example, the reason why you fail to communicate with ant is because you do not speak ant. You do not acknowledge ant in their voice, in their way of thinking, because you are not an ant. In order to define one species and how it reacts differently to another, what you do is you observe it in its environment, in its habitual forming, the way it reacts, calls, uses vocal language of any form, uses habitual scratching, or the way in which it actually performs its life in front of you. And it may do this in exactly the same way without its environment as it would within it. So, for example, if you wish to keep certain kinds of bats in captivity, you have to animate the same form of habit, the same form of the evolutionary process that it has already engaged with and is familiar with. Otherwise, you will end up with a very sick animal, and it will not be able to cope with the stress of the false environment that you make it endure. So we are looking then at animals in balance and harmony. But how surely can it be that if you define one species and say, this is something of relativity to myself, you as a human being, are you not then casting a judgment upon it, trying to place what that species has reached by your own mentality, by your own thought form, that you appraise yourself and your own ability, and you actually look upon other animals as lesser beings because partly you do not understand them, because you see them as ignorant, because they cannot do the things that you do. Perhaps if they had the same dexterity of their hands, if they had the same inclination as you do yourself, then your thoughts would not be so objectionable to them. Now, what you actually look upon in species is that through the evolutionary process, from the smallest of microorganisms, beginning within the Earth's impact, how the Earth gradually formed itself and gradually came about that species were able to exist at all. It was not a fluke of nature. It was just something that planets may go through if their mineral content is worthy of attracting or diverging into those different forms of mass. So what you have is gradually that once the chain reaction begins and certain chemicals are present within a certain system, it isn't something that happens to all systems, and it is not necessarily that those planets which are inhabitable by physical form always have the same collection of different chemicals that you have on your side of life. It is to say that many other planets, they have different chemical structures, yet they still support forms of life, just as you are beginning to understand, perhaps, in the way that you are defining, or should I say redefining, species on your side of life, in that you are looking and observing new species that you never before knew existed, simply and purely because of the fact that they exist in places and areas that you never thought life could exist. They feed on bacteria and the other natures existing on your planet that you never realized was even a food source. So how can you possibly see way in which you define species from your lofty position as being anything other than, I'm not saying that it is not worthy, but I'm saying that it is an objectionable point of view, because you are using your judgment in order to proclaim self, ego. And the hierarchy emblem that exists on your side of life, you are defining it as being in your favor, which of course at present it is. But that is merely because you have been able to bring education forward and been able to exhibit yourselves despite the environment to something that you are able then to control large portions of it, which is something, of course, that other animals do not do. What they do, in fact, is carry out their lives in equilibrium with their environment. They do not fight against it. They do not use tools or machinery in order to gather in excess of their demands. They merely take what they need and leave the rest for everyone else to enjoy, for everyone else to exist within and continue to live side by side, because that is the harmonic evolutionary state of your side of life. And that is how being in harmony actually affects or should affect all beings in physical life. So how does this possibly affect the spirit world? You may well ask. It is simply to say, dear friends, that the spirit world in itself is made up of spirit, who are all a part of what God is. We are defining the spirit world and spirit within it as being a part of the whole, a part of the oneness of the creation of the universe, dear friends, that we call is. That is I-S in your language. The product of is what you see before you, is everything you are, and everything that all other beings are in existence on your side of life and in the spirit world. Now it is to say, if you have a horse and it passes to the spirit world, its signatory, its genetic form of what it is, returns to the spirit world, to the soul group from whence it has come. When you define species, you look upon the different branches and connections of how species evolved through mutation. In fact, you are all mutants of one another. But what you are observing, in part, is something also connected to the spirit world, and how the genetic tree also relates to the tree of life in the spirit world. So spirit, actual manifestation of what they wish to form, what they wish to be exhilarated by in their life in physical form. Now, it does not mean to say that you as a human being will at some point become a giraffe or an antelope or even an ant or a worm. It is to say that you as a human form have always existed exactly the same as horse, as a horse form has always existed from the point of genetic manipulation. What happened then in the spirit world before there were these genetics of horse was purely that the spirit of horse was a pure spirit, just the same as you or I. Yet its vibration index was actually a fraction of the creator, the creation of oneness of the universe. this creation simply and purely became attracted to the aspect that became horse. It isn't to say that you denied that attraction as your spirit being before you had a physical life, but purely to say that as you continue to develop in the spirit world, as you continue to be an aspect of the creation of oneness, is, therefore, you gradually evolved in a different way to that of horse. It does not mean to say, for example, that horse in the spirit world is unable to speak or is unable to communicate with any other animals or any other beings in the spirit world in just the same way as it is able to speak and understand and communicate as it is in the physical being. You must be very careful not to confuse the aspects and pathways of genetics to how species are defined in physical life and how they are defined in the spirit world. Spirit of horse, therefore, became spirit of horse, particularly because the soul group of horse gradually became more defined the more that species genetically became imprinted. So we can say then that the spirit of horse will constantly remain within the soul group of horse. It is not going to be something that is outside of itself. It will return to that soul group at times when it feels a wish to be in that family harbor, in that place of oneness, of its own making, of its own attraction, its own vibration. It is not just that you observe a physical animal and it is only merely that structure that you observe. You are also observing its vibration and its point of contact with other physical reality. How it forms in its nature is something different, that is to do with instinct. But what you actually observe within species as defining is something that you are looking upon a being within itself, at one with itself, quite possibly, not angry, not frightening to one another, or hostile, except perhaps when it needs to eat food, and it will only do that when it needs to. It won't do it for the sake of fun or joy. It won't do it for the sake of its own self-opinion. It will only take food as it needs to. And that is the difference between different species. They will all have different habits. They will all have different defining moments of how their behavior interacts with their physical world. And what you observe is the creation of that.
Well, thank you for anybody who's just joined us. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by trance medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. Gregory is talking about defining species today, and that's the first time I've spoken. It's fascinating.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to hog the program.
No, it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Why did certain species digress from a particular path and become something else?
Largely, in the physical sense, because of the environment, because the way in which they had to change in order to support self, in order to become more adaptable to their environment, therefore they gradually, through the time period of evolution, established different principles, different behavior patterns, as I have said, different ways of forming their food source in order to continue their genetic sway. That is also, of course, as I say, a matter of the spirit world, because when they pass, each of them, they will return to their own species harbor, their soul group, because that is what has been signatured out for them through the Shining Ones. that is how they have actually formed relationship within the specific species and in relation to all other beings.
Okay. Well, could you tell us about the Shining Ones? I think we need to know a little bit about them to understand that if they can create new soul groups.
Yes, quite so. Very well. The Shining Ones are possibly beings who have had a physical human life, possibly not. They are not of a specific race, you understand. They are beings who have, through their existence, understood the elements of love, the energy of love, of the creation of all things of oneness that exists throughout all of the universe. And it is the Shining Ones that then become shining. They do not try to be shining. They do not exert pressure on themselves or their peers so that they are enabled to be shining. They just are an existence of being. And it is through their great understanding and bountiful love, it is through their wondrous appetite for giving to all other beings that have allowed them by the creation of oneness to become the sepulchre of defining forces. They are able to create worlds within all of the universe of physical extremity and all of the dimensions that exist, known and yet to be known, throughout all time.
So is this something that one would aspire to become if one were to hope to become an enlightened being? Although it sounds like you don't actually try to be a shining one, because in that case you wouldn't be?
Yes, exactly so. You would not define oneself as being enlightened even on the evolutionary pathway of human being. You do not look to be an enlightened being. Although you may think or wish that you had that peculiar ability, that understanding, that broad breadth of loving awareness within self, to be able to attain to that vibration. It is not that you seek something that is unattainable to you. What you may seek is only the ability to be giving and loving to all things. If you only seek that, we could say that that is the beginning path of enlightenment and the possibility of reaching that. Who is to say in the human context that any one of any other animals you observe on your side of life are unenlightened? How can you possibly place your egotistical judgment upon that creature and say that it is a lesser form, therefore it may not ever be an enlightened being? For example, whales and dolphins regularly are able to attain enlightenment because they are not selfish, because they are giving to one another in a selfless way. They see and sense harm. They are aware that they can be contaminatory to their environment, yet they choose not to be, for the will and good of all. So they actually maintain a different presence within self. And that is why when you talk of whales, when you talk of those kinds of animals that exist within the sea, that some people find them very haunting, find them very enigmatic to their principal soul that exists within them. And that is purely because of their sensitivity that you are aware of within their communication, their activity, and how they live.
I suppose we're rather handicapped in a way, not that we're anywhere. We're not likely to become enlightened as human beings, are we?
I'm not saying
as we're
that.
Living. But yes, but because of our materialistic
yes.
way that we have to live.
I don't want to put a damp squib on anyone's thoughts or principles.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah. We can try, but, I mean, because of the materialistic world that we live in, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? Because we have to put food on the table and other motives and have to become uppermost in our minds to do that.
It is because of the attraction of negativity that people on your side of life find the possibility of seeking oneness so difficult. If they are moreover able to view their own situation and dissect it and actually understand their principles of loss and disfavor with themselves, with their self state, then they would be able to become on the road to looking to view to a greater future. A future where they would not feel so selfishly opposing their environment, but rather be more harmonic toward it growing and inviting them and being invigorated by it.
So we're Homo sapiens. Do we come from apes?
Yes. From the family of that form. It is not to say that you were individually cast, naked as you are. It is to say that originally there were five different forms of Homo sapienic form that gradually you yourselves became more dominant. And this did not happen overnight, you understand. There were, in fact, as I say, five different forms originally. There were three branches of human activity which did quell for a short time. And I say a short time, many thousands of years. But gradually the environment beat them back. And they fell foul to their own lack of success in that respect. The environment really took them over, and they could not tolerate the different swings in the weather patterns, the harsh climates that became part of the way in which the earth itself had to break free from its other struggles. So what happened, dear friend? Yes, of course, there was an ice age, and that many beings became entangled with that and did not survive it. There were others, of course, other forms that managed to carry on for quite some time. Yet, your present form, being that it was also invigorated with other strains of other genetics, then became more vibrant.
Can you explain that?
Yes, of course. These other genetics were from different strains of beings not of your side of life, not of the earth form. And these gradually became impacted through just a small number of visitations that occurred back in the earlier times, you see. And that what occurred was that through these interrelationships with different parts of this race, that you then became more defined through that offspring, through that way in which genetics became a manipulative part of how you are formed at this very day. Now, this is not to say that this is something that is shameful or that it is something of an evil practice. This is something that is how the genetics of species are interrelated, how different species gradually move and evolve, gradually mutate, as I say, from one being to another. You are all products of one another's mutation, and how that is carried out, how that ingestion of different genetics came about, was purely through a different species.
So, alien races?
Yes.
And aliens are only spirit beings having a different form of existence.
Yes, of course.
Like we are here. So.
Yes. Just the same as you are to rats and mice, or you are to birds and trees and flowers. It is just the same. They are just different species from other worlds.
What, which ones in particular?
No, I am not going to say.
Okay.
It is not for me to say at this time.
Okay.
It is not an important issue. What is important is that you understand, we will discuss it another time, you understand?
Okay.
But what is important is that in order to understand the actual registry of genetics and how it works, how you are all individually and together of a similar family, you are all tied to one another inextricably, and that is why your harmonic should be greater than it is. And it is partly, I suppose, why it is that through your species that you are needing to accept that other species who surround you can be more sympathetic toward you if you create a more harmonic veil around you. So they will then react with your inner harmony, with your joy, with your way of being. So is that to say then that if you are this harmonic being and you are in the presence of a black bear who is looking at you and thinking that it is going to attack you, that it will not attack you because you are this harmonic being? No, of course not, because you are inviolating its space, and what it actually sees and pursues in its own mind is that you are the inviolate one. You are the one who has, throughout genetic history, which has been imprinted upon it, to be feared. You are there a predatory animal, just the same as it is a predatory animal. Therefore, it will strike first.
So these alien races had qualities that would benefit the human race, basically.
Yes, of course.
To sustain us to...
Exactly so. They did not have... hair upon their skin the way you do. You see, they were just the same as you were. They were not covered in hair, just the same.
Mm.
Whereas the other species that continues to survive on your side of life, which is from the same family tree group as yourselves, continue in the more hairier form, and because they are much taller and they have to continue to survive outside without clothing, because that is their choice.
So the apes were a part of the race that didn't get infiltrated.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So.
So the alien race that weren't so warring as we were, presumably.
Exactly.
That must have been something that was that was going to benefit us.
Well, it should have, yes. It is, in fact, something that instilled more calming qualities. Exactly the same, perhaps, as you observe some ape groups, particularly the larger gorillas. They are much more gentle, much more bovine in their habit, purely and simply. That is a quality that human beings, in the main, tend to have. There only becomes disquiet when they are either packed together like sweets in a jar, or that they are actually herded unnecessarily in such a way they become stressed, or they become invigorated by others' violence, because that in itself can be a drug-related institution, can it not? It can be something that sets about a pheromonic activity within the mindset, within the physical form of the being itself.
Well, and families that, I mean, that's the big thing, isn't it? That their families must stick together.
Yes, quite
and
so.
That usually brings problems.
Well, yes, of course, but and that is usually something that is not necessarily something that you should try to make for, because, of course, beings from one genetic family are not from the same soul group. Now, I have to say that in the sense of human form, and also in the sense of whales and dolphins and swans and many other physical animals on your side of life, that you do not necessarily just have one soul group. You have many. With the human variety, you in fact have many thousands of different soul groups. And this is a place of familiarity, a place of a particular vibration of intent. So it is to say that when you yourself meet someone from your same soul group, that you feel a particular at-oneness state with them, with their being. That is something that transcends the feeling of love. And love, by the way, does exist within other animal groups. The energy of attraction is not something that is purely of a physiological extent. It is something that is also an attraction of the soul, of the way in which the spirit relates to the physical being and the being relates to the spirit.
Is it likely that, we obviously need some sort of, some other help now again, I would think. Is it ever likely to happen again that we get infiltrated by a more placid alien race to help us?
Well, I do feel, dear friend, that this is something that is, in a sense, ongoing. Mm-hmm. Because there are certain races on your side of life who have the original trait quite intact within them. It isn't to say that I am going to point out which races these are,
no.
Because that would then lead to infuriating acts of violence given by those who are not of that race.
Yep.
So I would not wish to declare that, and I think that makes sense. Now, it is to say that there are those infiltrations that continue to exist on your side of life from those of other worlds. It isn't to say that these are malignant necessarily to the human form, although some may be. There are different qualities that will be needed if humanity is to continue to exist. To begin with, a lot of what humanity is facing at this present time is the inharmonious way in which food is gathered, in which it is distributed and portrayed, how it is changed ergonomically to your environment, and the way in which it, in fact, details and changes the organic structure of you in a cellular way. And so what you are seeing of yourselves is that people are becoming long and thin or short and fat. They are acquiring vast body weight where previously there was none, where previously they were lean specimens and would have also carried that form of bone structure that would have supported that. You see, so you are actually seeing over a very short space of time how you as a species genetically are augmenting and changing your physical self, your state, purely by the way in which you react with your environment and how you are changing your dietary needs to accommodate certain forms of pleasure or to accommodate certain wants or needs that you feel remain unfulfilled, and that's why your physical states are changing. It is to say, of course, there would be a need at some point to say then that you would wish to have more purity added to the human form. How can you say then that these races would be justified in doing so? You have seen even from your own histrionics how different races have tried to manipulate and raise themselves above all others, dominating them even through war. And the precise of that war is, this is something that is quite normal in human terms, that you are warring peoples, that you overcome other races, you subjugate them, you use them for slavery, and you use them for other purposes other than to allowing them to be, because you are wishing to overrule them with your own genetics, with your own traits, your own ability to swamp one another, is something that remains uppermost in your mind through the herding instinct, through the instinct of how you are beings that exert pressure on one another, and that is your form of existence, of how you create your genetic tree and establish it as a powerful weapon against those of your herd.
But are we really herding animals, human beings? I mean, because we're not like horses and pack animals that you know.
Yes,
we are. We don't seem to be.
I understand quite clearly that there are different defining moments in this aspect, because you see yourself perhaps as wanting to have these little islands of peace. You like to feel, perhaps many beings like to feel, that they are in their own land, in their own piece of isolation, so that they can feel happy and safe within their own environment. Many people, I understand, in human terms, in physical life, feel that when they are lumped together in the way that they are in large cities or dwelling places, that they feel unnerved by that experience. They may even feel alienated by it, and it causes them to suffer so. So they cease to function. They do not exist as well as others do, because they are crying out for the needs of self, which are never met because of the impaction of the place in which they live. Their environment becomes claustrophobic, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And it is to say, however, that these are different genetic traits that still exist within you, you see. That for some beings, those genetic traits are switched off or become less. They have become less invigorating, less essential to that being, simply and purely because other more sedatory practices of intent have become uppermost. Now, it is to say that part of this infection is due to environmental persuasion. It is also due to your own understanding and likeness of how you interpret your genetics to your environment, how you yourself find pleasure within your own moot, within your own way of expression, how you would wish to field your life in your quest for love, for example, how you would wish to show your life in respect of how you react to the events around you. These are all things, dear friend, that will continually make pressures upon you, and that actually how you react to them are matters of not your own survival necessarily, but your own individuality. And it is that individuality that enables you, that can enable you to overcome the pressures you may face. Do not look upon your genetics and say, I am just this species and that is the way I behave. You will observe in many different species that they gradually mutate, gradually change and alter their views, gradually alter the way of their behavior in order to continue to survive. Human beings are nonetheless the wherefore that. They will continue to do that also, purely and simply. Perhaps they will do it within their own lifetime. Change from one being what your mother and father would wish you to be, or how they would wish you to act and observe, just the same as they did in their life, and you will find that a different generation will do something completely the opposite, or will react to something in a different harmonic way, partly because they are different individuals, and also because they are not necessarily tied to the same soul group tree hierarchy in the spirit world, and that is a matter for them.
Well, I think it clearly shows us how if everybody worked on their harmonizing with their spirit within, like doing the meditations that we talk about very often in our books and in our shows.
Yes.
That, and, you know, then it would be a genetic, it would change the genetics of the race, basically.
Yes, exactly.
It's so, almost, I almost like want to say that, well, you know, I think only people should be able to have babies that do this.
Yes,
to make the world a nicer place, you know.
Yes, I understand, Fred. You see, you can actually observe different races within your own race, how they themselves react to their environment, how they are placed, perhaps, within their own being state. You can observe a particular tribe who are of a great spiritual nature, and that will be within their genetics. It will become something that grows within their genetics, that is not something there purely because they are reenacting one another's behavior, because that is their tribal lesson, if you like. They are also reacting with one another because they are defining themselves in wishing to seek what you all seek, a oneness and a closeness of unity with the creation of all things, the is in everything that exists.
Yeah, it's just getting people to have a glimpse of that, to know what that might feel like, to fuel them on.
Yes, and I am not, absolutely so. And I'm not saying here that the first people that, having listened to this program, will go out and no doubt try to contact and say that they are making contact with a Shining One. And that is exactly the kind of egotistical situation that inviolates humanity, that they miss the point. How can you possibly become anything past your present existence? I know you need to reach for this purity, but what you need to reach for is the purity that is within you, not someone else's purity, to quantify therefore your existence and your own light by their contact with you. What you need to do is, by your own physical actions, by your own thought process, garland those flowers of truth from your mind, from your being state, from your actions upon your planet. Do not wait for someone else to come and tell you how to do it. Just do it and be it.
And presumably, Shining Ones don't speak through people on this earth anyway.
You are of too a lower vibration in order to be able to communicate with them. It would not be at your behest in any case. Even if a Shining One merely thought of you, it would make you shudder. You could not, and I say this most sincerely, and I do not mean to rule out ever the possibility, but it is just the same as when you observe a being who has been beautified by their own thoughts. What you are observing is the way that they have changed their metabolic structure because their spirit is shining through them. And it is that connection of their spirit that is shining through them that gives them the glow that they will have through that communication. It is the communication with your own self-oneness that will bring about the possibility of you attaining enlightenment, not communication with someone who professes to be of greater worth than you, who said they were. It is your defining moment to understand that you have the possibility within yourself to accede to your current vibration, pass it beyond all reasonable doubt, that one day you will be able to have the ability to love and give without question.
So, one last point. I think if dolphins or whales or elephants were the dominant species that ruled the earth, what would it be like? What would the differences be?
Well, my dear friend, quite simply, dolphins, elephants, and whales in particular all have a similar mindset. Yes, in the case of dolphins, they harvest fish because that is what they eat. Or krill are particular choices for certain animals. Is it to say that they are less worthy because they eat such? Or because they actually have no choice in their genetic makeup? That is what has brought them to perform their act of function in their physical life. It does not mean to say that they harbor ill will against those that they have to endure on, that they have to survive upon. In just the same way, it is to say that all of these animals actually have a different outlook upon their life. Yes, they observe violence. They sometimes interact badly with one another and through disagreement, just the same as you have disagreement on your side of life. Yet they do not bandy together or create ill will upon other species through their own enjoyment. They do not do this to deflower their own environment, to wash it away from all others' sight. What they do is enhance their environment. You may see and observe elephants as they strip trees of their leaves. The trees may grow back the following year. They may even grow back that season and continue to survive. Eventually, trees will pass away, exactly the same as all other physical beings who gradually, inevitably, pass away. Their physical life done with, but their spirit continues in the spirit world to manifest itself, joy, love, relationships with one another, just in the same way, dear friends, as you try to perceive in your own physical life.
So ego would be gone, trivial fighting and wars and jealousy.
Well, yes, quite so. Now, jealousy, of course, is another thing that sometimes rears its head within the situations of genetics or species manipulation. It is something that may come up, for example, within the genetic tree of fighting for survival, that the dominant element of the species will win. Unfortunately, in human terms, human beings take that to an nth degree and at times cause war and fraction of society in order to maintain that. It is not something that occurs in animal life. Within the animal's kingdom, what tends to happen is that these wars are fought over just by two
beings.
Because they are the main protagonists against one another's feelings. Or perhaps because they wish to have that dominant element of their own species. And that is something that you all wish for, is it not? Within the way that you search for a mate, in the way in which you find those genetic principles that are pleasing to you and that you, within yourself, feel will benefit the genetic possibility of generations to come.
Okay. Well, thank you very much once again, Gregory.
Thank you so, dear friend. And it, as always, is with the utmost love that we are here and that we hope you have been able to bring something from this engagement that we have made. We thank you so. Good day.
Good day. Thank you. So, we have to take more notice of our animal friends. Take a leaf out of their book. And while Mickey's coming back, I'd like to mention our books and website again. That's The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, It's Meaning, Magic and Imagery, Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, and our books are available from our website or at amazon.com or bookstores. And all that's left to say is that we hope you've enjoyed the show. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.